Morning. How are you doing? All right. It's a big story today.
About Jabal Sheard, you guys signed him as a free agent. What have you noticed from him about his approach, more so like off the field? You obviously knew him as a player from what you saw in Cleveland, but just getting to know him in terms of how he approaches his work.
Good. Yeah, really professional. Works hard. Trains hard. You know, he's got good skills, a good playing strength, good technique. He does a good job. He's fit in well. I think he's been a good teammate. Guys really like working with him. Coaches. He's given us a lot of versatility.
He's one of the players on the roster, I believe, that hasn't played in a playoff game. I'm curious, with that group, not necessarily just him, but do you address them? Do you have captains address them, players that have been in that situation, address them just to explain this is a whole nother level here?
I mean, look, I talk to the team every day, so we talk about things that are pertinent. But there's a lot of guys that haven't been in playoff games before. I don't think that's not a new story. Brady's first playoff game, Malcolm Butler last year. I mean, talk about it every year. I mean, you'll find somebody.
So what kind of leader has Dante turned into? How have you seen him progress over the years in terms of not just his physical play, which everybody sees, but what you see in the locker room from Hightower?
You know, he's got really good, good skills. He gets along well with everybody. You know, he's got a good personality. Defensive line, other linebackers. It's been kind of a different situation with Gerard, being out the last couple of years, at a certain point in the season, and, being there but then not being there. And then this year, he's been there all the way through. So, I mean, Gerard's has a presence as well, as does Jamie. So, we've kind of gotten, I would say, cumulatively, a lot from that position, in addition to guys like, Dwight Freeney and, Jonathan Freeney, sorry, Dwight on my mind. Jonathan Freeney, that's been really a good solid group for us, overall, and Dante's a big part of that, especially as a signal caller and, communicating adjustments or, calls from Matt.
Bill, over the last 10 years, one of the biggest developments in sports in general is the use of analytics or advanced stats. And you go to a baseball game now and analytics are everywhere. In football, how much have you seen the use of analytics over the last however many years? And what can they be useful for, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not really a big thing with me. And I'm sure you can go to the Northeastern Analytics Conference or whatever it is they have here in the summer or spring, whenever it is, and get your fill of it. I'm sure there's a lot there.
You guys employ more math side people to help you figure out schemes or trends?
Nope. I mean, we do, some of it. I'm sure we do probably a lot less than a lot of other people do. It's not really my thing.
Matt, with his degree also, does he come up with some crazy...
I mean, look, we do... I've done things all the way back to, when I was with the Giants. And before that, just, doing them by hand. But, I mean, look, if you're out there coaching every day and, to me, if you can't see an 80% tendency, then, what are you looking at? Now, is it 51-49, 49-51? I don't know. What are you going to do with that? You want to bet on 51? You want to bet on 49? Or bet on 55 or 45? I mean, at that point, what's the difference? I don't see a big difference, and I certainly wouldn't want to, bet on 55 and just take my chances on 45. You got to play it straight. So, but, honestly, I think of an experienced coach. He can't see 80-20 or 90-10. I mean, I don't think that's very good.
Is film, with that in mind, is film still the biggest tool you use for preparing for a game, previous game film?
It's one tool. I mean, you break it down and you take information from that. I mean, ultimately, that's where it comes from. But, there are other components of it.
as in?
Like your personal experience, you know, who the, you know, who the play callers are on the other side of the field. I mean, there's a philosophy that they have. I mean, which it's on film, but there may be other sources of information on that. So, you know, who's calling the plays, what their philosophy is, what they're trying to do, what the skills of the players are, which again is verified on film. But I mean, ultimately, you got to watch something. So, you know, you watch them on film. If you have personal experience seeing the guy, you know, live, whether it be as an opponent or in a practice or in college or whatever it is, you know, I guess that plays into it too.
Seems like Akeem Hicks has taken a bit of a leap in the last few weeks. Is that more a product of an increased role or just growing comfort in the system?
Well, I think, you know, what Akeem was doing in New Orleans is particularly this year, I mean, because we practiced against him down there, you know, watched him pretty closely. I'd say what he's doing here is a little different than what he was doing down there. So, you know, certainly an acclimation. And systematically, I'd say we're different than what Rob, who was the coordinator at that time. So what Rob was running down there was, and where Akeem was playing and those defenses were a little bit different than what we were doing. So, you know, I think he's kind of gotten better each week with the communication, the, you know, understanding the game plan. You know, we change things a little bit from, you know, it's fairly regularly. So there's definitely an element of game planning and things we do specific to one team that don't necessarily carry over from the week before. So I think that's an adjustment for, you know, a lot of players that come in here. But, I mean, he's done a good job. He works hard. He's certainly improved and gotten a lot better in all those areas. There's still room to go, but he's made a lot of progress.
Billy, you mentioned as you work with players, new players, sometimes you learn different things about them. Like with Jabal, for example, you learned that he was pretty good in terms of playing on the inside. I'm wondering, in Akeem's case, is there anything like that that you've learned now that you've had a chance to work with him for a while that maybe you didn't know about him before?
Well, I mean, I think he has versatility. He's played outside of me. He's played out of five technique, and he's played all the way into the zero. So for us, we've played him more inside because that's where we want him to play. But could he play outside, or have we ever put him out there? Yeah, we have, but not very often. The majority of his plays have come in the inside part of the defense, and for what we want him to do and what he's worked on, that's, you know, that's been his bigger role for us. But could he do other things? Yeah, I'd say absolutely. And he did them. You know, we saw him do them down in when we practiced against New Orleans. It's just, it's a question of what we want him to do versus what they want him to do. And I would say in this case, it's a little bit different. But he's been able to do, you know, multiple things.
Well, yesterday you talked about Steven Jackson's performance and things to build on. It's been a limited experience, but how have you found coaching him?
Great. He's great to coach. Yeah. I mean, works hard. He's, you know, you would think he was a rookie. I mean, he's just trying to soak everything in, you know, understand everything as well as he can. He practices hard. He, you know, runs scout team, does the things he needs to do to improve and to work on, honestly, things he hasn't been able to do, you know, in months when he was, you know, working out but not playing football. So he's tried to take advantage of all those opportunities. He's been great. He's got a great attitude. And, you know, he's picked things up well, and you know, it's gotten better really literally every day he walks off the field. It's kind of better than it was the day before, you know, including the games, which, again, are limited. But, you know, hopefully there'll be more of them.
Bill, did you know that he had pretty much made up his mind that he wasn't going to play anymore, and then essentially you guys called a day or two after he had said, I'm comfortable with retiring, and does that factor into it all when you have a conversation with him?
No, I wasn't aware of that. When I talked to him, I mean, that was we had a conversation about it, then we followed up and had another conversation, and then things, you know, there were certain steps we took after that, so... But, yeah, I mean, I'd say with him, I've relied on my personal conversations, which went back to pre-draft, and then there have been, you know, a couple along the way, and then obviously more recently. But, yeah, I rely on that rather than, like, some, you know, media report or some other third party that's trying to relay information. I'd rather just talk to the person directly and, you know, have a straightforward conversation. I know that's not really the way a lot of people like to do things, but that's the way I prefer.
He had relayed the story of when you called him on the Patriots All Access show, and he said that when you called him, he said, I need to work myself out, you know, and then if I can just get back to you, because he wanted to make sure that he could be
right.
Followed through. How unusual was that for you, just in your experience, to have a player, you know, say that to you and almost say, hold on a second, let me make
sure. Well, I mean, again, for guys that aren't playing football, you know, they're just training or working out or staying active, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's a difference between doing that and playing football and then going back to doing football-type drills. It's a little bit different. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's that. I mean, it's different, but it's the same as a player who's injured. I mean, a player who's injured, who's coming back off an injury, you know, goes through the progression of, you know, running in the pool, running on a, you know, an Alter G or something that, you know, keeps their full weight from being, you know, put onto, let's just say, a lower body injury. They do some, you know, stepper or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then at some point, you know, so now you got to go out there and play football. Well, it's not the same as, you know, just burning calories or working out or breaking a sweat or, you know, getting your body back to doing normal activities. Playing football is very specific. So, again, it's a natural progression for us to take anyway. We don't take a guy who's injured and start him out and, you know, do the football position-specific drills that he would be doing. We go through a progression. So, you know, I don't think it's really that unusual. And with guys coming out of retirement or guys coming off of an extended period of inactivity, football inactivity, not life inactivity, but football inactivity, then that's the next step, is to look at football-specific drills. So,
how important has Rob Ninkovich been to his program, the defense, over the last 6-7 years?
Yeah, Rob's played, you know, a strong role for us. You know, I think his, you know, selection by his teammates as a captain, you know, reflects kind of the leadership or the respect that he has amongst them. But, you know, Rob's been a really versatile guy for us. He's played, you know, kind of like Vrabel, you know, at the end of the line primarily, but he's played inside linebacker, he's played defensive end, he's played in the kicking game. You know, he did a lot of the things, you know, like Mike did, that you need somebody to do on your defense somewhere along the line because of the different offenses we face and some of the different schemes we use. You know, you can't move 11 guys around, but sometimes you can move one or two and, you know, create that. So that's been important. I mean, just come back to your question, Mike, sorry. You know, with Junior, it was kind of the same thing with Junior. I mean, he was out, and then he was, like, doing a bull riding or whatever the hell it was, and surfing and all that. And so, you know, then there's a reacclimation of football, you know, which, I mean, I remember us doing that out at San Jose when we were out there before it was after the Seattle game, but whatever it was. But, you know, I mean, so there's definitely an element of that for that type of player, that type of situation. Sorry.
He hasn't missed a game, I think, since 2009.
Very durable, very dependable, yeah. Which, I mean, durability is more important than ability in this league. And, you know, not only has he not missed a game, I mean, he's barely missed a practice. I mean, he's out there, you know, every day. And so that builds the communication and consistency with your defense, with his teammates, you know, with everything. I mean, it's a guy that you just don't even think about not being out there because, you know, he's always out there. And that's, you know, I mean, it's huge in the overall development of your team or particularly that unit. But, you know, Rob started off as a, you know, with a bigger role in the kicking game, and that's, you know, diminished somewhat. But, you know, again, like going back to the Green Bay game last year where he, you know, stepped in and snapped in that game. I mean, you know, without that, I mean, that could cost you the game right there, you know. So to have somebody as dependable as he is to be able to take on that kind of a specific role, you never know if you're going to need it. You hope you never need it, but if you need it and you don't have it, I mean, you know, the other 52 guys are, you're in a lot of trouble, you know. So that there's things like that that are kind of not recognized or not recognized as much that, you know, he really is valuable.
Bill, getting back to your comment about Junior and about Steven Jackson, how long does it take you to your mind, make that decision? Like, I think you have something in your, you know, is how much of it is rust with a veteran coming off, you know, having sat around all year when you really feel like, okay, we have something here?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, look, it comes in stages, so you're not gonna go from 0 to 100 in a day. I think you, whatever the first look is, or maybe it's a second look, but at that point you feel like, okay, well, we want to continue or we don't. Either, you know, and that may mean we don't want to do it now. You need to go back and do more. Let's take another look at it. Or, you know, maybe it's like, okay, it's just too far to go here, and, you know, the player feels like it's too far, you feel like it's too far, and you just don't pursue it. But I think, you know, the initial, whether it's one time, two times, whatever it is, the relatively initial part of it, you kind of make a determination as to whether you want to go forward with it. And sometimes you go forward and it gets to a point that's, you know, workable, and then sometimes you go forward and you get to a point where it just doesn't work out. And we certainly have multiple examples of both of those, so I don't think there's any set. I think after a certain period of time, you know, you're going to reach some type of leveling off point, and then you have to decide at that point, where, you know, is that good enough or is it not going to be good enough? Once you see that this is what it's going to be, then either that you're happy with it and it's good enough to continue, or it's not going to get any better, it's below the line and it's just not going to work and you have to move on. So, but that takes a certain period of time. It's not a day or, you know, an hour workout. I mean, there's got to be there's somewhat of progression there.
Well, has your attitude on watching games this weekend changed over the years? I mean, do you get anything more out of it? You've said in the past, I think, that you just wait until the all 22s come in, because that's where, and you're scouting.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you watch the game, you're just going to follow it, just, you know, to watch it. And obviously you're going to be playing one of the two teams, or could be, depending on, in this case, we have three to choose from, but, you know, if there's a situational plays that come up in the game, which there always are, you know, it's sort of interesting to, you know, follow those. Like, you know, what would we do, or what are they doing in that situation, or just, you know, whatever look you get at it. But, I mean, if there's 100 things, like, to me, that would probably be, like, no higher than one. You know, it wouldn't be 10, it wouldn't be 20, it would, you know, somewhere between 0 and 1 probably for me. And so if you didn't see the game, which, I mean, there's hundreds of games that we haven't seen, you know, we're playing our game, they're playing their game, we play them the next week, like, we don't see that. I mean, there's been a lot more games that I haven't seen than I have on before the week before we play the game. So, again, that's what I'm saying, like, 99% of the time, 90% of the time, we're not going to see it. And that's okay, you know, we still are going to show up and play anyway. And then the few times that we get to see it, you know, we see it, okay, and it adds, like, maybe that 0.25%. I mean, I don't know, it's not very much.
You know, how is Brandon LaFell's season going in general? I know he started out injured and then he's come back, and overall.
Well, I think, you know, Brandon's really, you know, pushed through. You know, being on PUP, he had a little bit of extra time in terms of starting right at the beginning of the season. But, you know, anytime you come in the middle of the year without the full training cycle, the off season, training camp, and all that, I mean, you're always playing catch-up. And, you know, you might marginally close the gap, but it's never really the same as having that whole period there. So, you know, mentally and schematically and all that, I mean, I think that's caught up. You know, physically, it's, you know, it's improving. It's certainly good enough to be competitive. Is it as good as it would be with all the other prior training in place? I mean, no, I don't think so, you know. But, I mean, look, if that was the case, then, like, why do we go to training camp? Why do we have an off-season program? So that's the benefit of all those guys being able to do that.
Another hurdle it'll all been for him, just in terms of relative to 2014. First the injury, but then other guys go out, and his role changes a little bit, maybe, but in the way the offense runs.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, that's football. I mean, roles change every week, whether we change them or somebody else changes them, or the defense, their adjustments change them. I mean, that's football, so you have to be able to handle, you know, different situations. You can't just run one route or just do one thing. You have to, you know, you're going to have to be able to do multiple things and handle multiple situations. I mean, that's, but we all have to deal with that, you know, so can't just, I mean, not in this league, I mean, you just can't, you're not going to be able to throw 30 screen passes, you know. They take that away and you have to throw something else. You can't throw 30 go routes and they take that away, you have to do something else. So that's true for each individual player, too.
Bill, what's your message been to your team this week, knowing that you don't know who you're going to play?
We want to play our best football next Saturday night. I don't know, what else is there?
Is this week any different because you don't have an opponent to prepare for?
We want to prepare to play our best football next Saturday night. I mean, whatever we can do, we can do. Yeah, there's things we don't know, obviously, but, I mean, there's no way to get ready for three teams. I mean, it's hard enough to get ready for one team. So what we're going to do is try to do the best that we can and prepare ourselves to play the best that we can play and coach next Saturday night. I mean, I don't know what else. What else is there to talk about? Other than the specifics of doing it, but, like, that's, yeah. We need to play our best, coach and play our best game next Saturday night.
For guys who haven't gone through the process, is there something to the idea that the difference between regular season and postseason is the same week from preseason to regular season?
I don't know about that. I mean, look, the thing in postseason is every team's a good team. I mean, you're not going to be in a postseason if you're not a good team. And whoever we play next week is going to be a team that's not only a good team, but they will have won a playoff game. So it doesn't matter who that team is. However it comes out, that team will be a good team. They'll have a lot of confidence. They will have won a playoff game, and they're a good team. So for us to beat them, we're going to have to play our best game of the year, and that's what we're – that's our approach to this week. That'll be our approach next week. How do we play our best game of the year against whoever that happens to be, knowing that they're good? You know, in preseason, I mean, everybody's trying to get ready for the regular season. I mean, I don't know who's good and who isn't. I'd say in a lot of the opening games, I wouldn't say we've been particularly good. And a lot of our opponents haven't been particularly good. I mean, that's where it is at that point in the year. I mean, now, you know, everybody's had a lot of opportunity. The best teams are still standing. There'll be fewer of them next week. We'll be facing one of them. We'll have to be at our best. So, yeah, I think it's a lot more competitive than it is opening day. Not that opening day is not competitive. I don't mean that. But in the overall picture, you're talking about the best teams in the league playing with everything at stake, nothing to hold back for. There's no game next week like there is opening day for the loser. So, yeah, I mean, this is competition at its highest level right here.
In addressing your team this week, is this a continuation of the self-scouting process that goes on all year, or do you find yourself going back and rewatching things early in the year?
Depends on what it is, Bob. We could. Depends on what the situation is. I mean, if you want to look at screen passes this year, I mean, I don't know how many screen passes have we defended the last 3 weeks. I don't know. Five, six, you know, maybe you'll watch all 30 of them rather than just the last few. You know, maybe if it's a different thing, you're just, you know, you kind of look at the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, it depends on what it is, what you're looking for, kind of what you're trying to accomplish, what the question is. So it could be any of those. I mean, look, we've gone back in other years, going back in some cases, we don't go back more than 2 weeks because, like, we don't really care what happened. You know, this particular thing is just really all about where we are right now. Last 1 to 2 weeks, you know, these two or three guys working together, these two or three guys doing this. I mean, I don't really care how, you know, Matt Light and Logan Mankins did it. I mean, it's okay, you know, it's not relevant. You know, what's relevant is these two guys or whoever it happens to be, so. Good for all? Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.